And welcome back, everyone, to the Film Reel cast. I feel like it's been a while since we've been here, but it hasn't. It's been every week as usual. I just don't know why. I just feel like we've not been around for a long time, but we are back. And we've got the usual crowd of, I'd say, intellects. I really would. And I'm kind of going to go against the bone on that one because I'm going to introduce Kelly to the Film Reel cast. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I love how you get the digs in there before there's any chance to say anything. I appreciate it.
I know it's my very cowardice way that I do things, and yes, I admit that, but I can't do it any other way. One way I'd like to do it is the Neil way. How are you?
I'm very well. How would I do it?
You do it several ways, mate. You do,
do
it
I?
Several
oh,
ways.
Okay.
Yes, you do. Yes,
have you been spying on me again?
I have got those cameras set up, and it's probably the best investment I've ever made, to be honest.
Excellent. Now I know they're definitely there. I'll put on a real show.
You mean you haven't been so far?
No, I've been fairly reserved, but now you know he's watching. That's it. Game on.
That's
right,
it.
It's
involved various fruits and stuff like that now, and vegetables.
Yeah, I need a use for those aubergines and stuff. So
exactly. Excellent. Before we go down that road, we are doing a film, thankfully. We're doing a film that you chose, and your track record, Countdown Kelly, is one kind of to be questioned, isn't it?
Yeah, I annoyingly can't argue that, so that's a bit frustrating. But this one isn't as horrendous as the last ones.
And what have you gone for? Tell our listening audience.
I went for Disturbia on Netflix.
And why?
There wasn't a particular reason, if I'm entirely honest, just because I knew the actor, I recognised the actor, and that's as far as I can go with that.
This enthusiasm is amazing. I can feel you're really going to back this film up with the enthusiasm you've got for it. Fucking hell. Wow.
I recognised someone, so I thought we'd watch it. Yeah. That's fair enough.
Concept of acting, I knew he did something like that, so that's it. I mean, come on, you're much better than that. You really, really are. You've been on the podcast long enough now.
Well, what reason am I supposed to give? I looked at Netflix and thought, oh, I haven't seen that. I'll watch that.
Man, the way you make it sound like that's a rarity.
Well, kind of.
Oh, my God. Okay. Never mind. For the person who's never seen any
I like the effort. I like the effort you're putting in to try and get enthusiasm out of me. I do appreciate that.
No, it's absolutely fine. It's just so I know where not to go if I'm looking for any. Because normally when you choose a film, you back it up with, say, I Will Get Crucified, Top Gun, John Wick. I back that up. I get slaughtered for that. I back it up with, this is why I wanted to choose it. You chose Disturbia, a 2007 film. I just wanted to know why, that was all. But obviously there's no reason. So that's always good. But Neil, have you seen this film?
A very, 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 very long time ago, yes.
Fantastic. And Kels, you've obviously never seen this, have you?
No, never seen it before today.
Excellent stuff. I saw it a while back. I just chose it, I think, about 3-4 months ago, the first time I saw it.
Blimey.
It just looked like something that was quite interesting. I like the concept of, I think it's Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window, and this was like a modern take on that for probably like a younger generation. But it's directed by DJ Caruso, and executive producer Steven Spielberg. And the cast of it is Shia LaBeouf, from Transformers fame. And I quite liked him in the first one. And that's it. I do think he is a good actor. But from what I've read and the interviews and stuff like that, apparently in real life, he's a bit of a wanker, isn't he?
I think he's a bit strange. I think he's a strange man. I think the fame's got to him.
Yeah, he found it at a very young age as well, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Like the first thing he was involved in was like 1984. Because I was looking at those things, because he's done some cracking films. Absolutely brilliant films. Lawless being one of them. You must have seen Lawless.
I saw Lawless about 3 weeks ago. I was just flicking, and I thought, I want to go to something that I know is good. And I went to that. He's really good in that, isn't he?
Oh, he's brilliant in it. He's done loads of decent films, but that is a brilliant film. It's got Tom Hardy in it as well.
Yeah.
Amongst others. Obviously, but he's done Fury, and he was an iRobot as well. Obviously, Transformers, the first one, which was quite good.
I really like him. I think he's a good actor. And if he was in it, depending on who the director is, I would watch it, because I think he seems to kind of go 100% on what he's in, regardless. Mm. And I know he's done a lot of stage. and he's like got really, really good reviews in that. So he kind of went off the rails. He got arrested, didn't he?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you why, to be honest, but he probably did.
So it's he's much better than the people kind of fucking rate him. I like him a lot. And we've also got another actor who I really do like is David Morse. I always like this guy. He's like often a gentle giant. So for me to see him in portray the role as a fucking psychopath was quite a nice surprise, to be honest, because he's a huge guy, isn't he?
He is a big man. He's a big, big man. I was looking at him because he reminded me of someone else, but it wasn't him. And I couldn't, like, always plays that type of sort of, the one that was in, what's that giant snake film? Anaconda. It reminds me of him, but obviously it isn't the same guy.
Which one was that? Which guy in that film?
The bad guy in Anaconda. You know, the
John
that,
Voight?
That's the one. Thank you. It reminded me of him.
Oh, really?
And that's who I thought
it
was
the
originally.
Hairstyle, do you think?
Yeah. I think it's the size, the way he looks, sort of his facial expression and stuff like that.
That's interesting you say that, because he's one of those actors who you see him and you're like, I know him. I know he's been in something that I've seen. He's brilliant in The Green Mile.
Yes.
He's really good in that as one of the guards with Tom Hanks. And I think he plays Brutus. And he's a big guy in that. He's like a gentle giant. He was in The Rock as well, wasn't he?
Was he? I'm trying to place him in The Rock now. But, oh, he was indeed. He was.
Yeah.
Major Tom Baxter, apparently.
Have we done The Rock? I swear we've done The Rock, haven't we?
I wasn't on that, I don't believe. But I'm sure you must have done The Rock. If you haven't, we should do it.
That surely would be a film that we would do just for the sake of Nicolas Cage, it being so fucking like cheesy and stuff like that.
Yes.
It would be one of the films that surely we'd do. But Disturbia, as I say, it's a kind of new take on Alfred Hitchcock Rear Window, which is a really, really good film that is worth watching if you don't mind watching old films. I think it's about 1950-odd. But this is a remake, or I'd say a remake. And the story goes, Shia LaBeouf, after his father was killed in an accident, which we're going to talk about, things unravel, and he plays the character Carl Bratch, who's placed under house arrest for punching his Spanish teacher. Again, we'll have a conversation, no doubt about that. He's got nothing better to do. He's under house arrest for 3 months to spy on his neighbours. But one night he witnesses what appears to be a murder, Mr. Turner, played by David Morse. In Mr. Turner's house, he believes he's seeing a body being carried out. And he carries on the investigations to an extent where it puts not only him, but his mother, Julie, played by Carrie Ann Moss, from Matrix fame, in danger. And that story is really basic story. And this film, I felt, didn't get going until the 50-55 minute mark, did it?
There's a lot of build-up, isn't there?
And huge amount of build-up.
Teenage angst, I would say.
Yeah, and I kind of briefly spoke to Kelly about this the other day, and the first scene when they're fishing in the middle of nowhere, fly fishing, and Shia LaBeouf's fishing with his dad, and they're kind of having that bonding moment, and on the way back, they're speaking to Carrie Ann Moss, who, I like her. She's always going to be Trinity in The Matrix, regardless, isn't she, of whatever she's in.
Definitely. She's definitely going to be always clad in some sort of PVC outfit.
Yeah, definitely. And swinging through that window in the first one, where you get one of the best views of her bottom, don't you?
Oh, yeah, you do.
It's absolutely amazing. It's probably one of my favourite reasons why I bought this on DVD, so it just would not stretch that tape anymore.
Oh dear, that is not good.
It's such a good shot. But they are kind of having that bonding session. On the way back, they're in the van and they're talking, they're in the car, Shia LaBeouf's driving. And unlucky, he's kind of up this car's arse. So he suddenly moves out of the way for a car that's broken down and he crashes into it. Who is to blame for this? Is Shia LaBeouf to blame for the accident?
I don't think so. I think it's the guy that overtook him's fault, to be honest, because he was driving like a twat, wasn't he? Then pulled in front of him, then, you know, I wouldn't blame Shia for that.
No, it's very tricky, isn't it? Because you could say he's up his arse, but it's a weird thing because that car surely must see that other car broken down in the road. It just pulls out last minute and it crashes into him. And sadly enough, following is another car that smashes into the side of the car that the dad is and kills him. It is a really good stunt, though. It's a great accident, practical effects, isn't it?
It's definitely a hard-hitting way to start a film. That's for damn sure. And it sort of sets the tone of what Shire's character is going to be, what his mindset's going to be. So I thought it was a good way of opening a film.
It does. And then we're introduced to another character. We've got a few other characters who we haven't kind of mentioned yet. We've got Aaron Yeo, who plays Ronnie, who's Shia's best friend. And it's weird because they're in a Spanish class. They're in high school. We see that Shia LaBeouf doesn't give a shit. He really, really doesn't. He's kind of strung out. He's just got his hood up. And Ronnie's kind of speaking Spanish as to what he's doing over the school holidays. And it's the weirdest thing. He's kind of speaking bollocks about, I'm going to visit my grandparents. Perhaps I'll do this. Perhaps I'll do that. And the class are really into it for some unknown reason, aren't they?
I think he's being rude, isn't he, in Spanish?
He's not being rude, is he? He says kiss ass or something, and it means and then. But or something like that. And it's something amusing in English, but means something totally different in Spanish.
Ah, right.
Kiss ass. Visitaré a mis abuelos en Corea. Quizás no. Quizás apenas permanecere en el país. Pero quizás mis padres tomarán la compasión en mí.
The word he uses or something in Spanish is totally different and kind of funny in English. I think it is quizás that. Or something.
Is it?
Well done.
Yeah, well done. It's because then the teacher says that, saying, and then I'll give you a fail. But he says quizás at the beginning, so it's that bit that the students are all into because he's kind of taking the piss but doing what he's told at the same time.
Good for you. I completely missed that. I really just zoned out. I thought, why is he saying this? It's not funny whatsoever.
Childish humour, though, isn't it?
What are you trying to say?
Yeah.
We'd all do.
There we go.
Nice get out there. Well proud of you.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so, and Charlotte Booth stands up to say what he's going to do over the school holidays. Very, very fucking lackluster, understandably. Doesn't give a shit. He's a broken man, isn't he? He really, really is. And then the Spanish teacher just says to him, like, you're going to fail. Like, you can't even do this. And what would your dad think?
Yeah.
And he kind of just punches him out, doesn't he, on the floor. And
good man.
You'd do that, wouldn't you? I mean, he was being baited by the teacher, I think, wasn't he? Completely.
Oh, fuck, right. Yeah, definitely.
I think, personally, I mean, we do see Officer Gutierrez, who is the cousin of the teacher. And unfortunately, he's going to be all over Shia LaBeouf. We find out not enough to have any impact throughout the film. But I think, personally, I mean, this, at the moment, we've watched 10 minutes. Why have we got this whole build-up? Because it could have just started with him looking out of the window, bored, and through the build-up, learning the reason why he's got binoculars, the reason why he's sat doing nothing, is because he's under house arrest. I don't need to know any of this. His relationship with his dad never comes into it, does it?
No, but that sets his tone, doesn't it? I think it needed something to set his tone to put him in this position. I didn't mind it at all. I didn't think there was any issue with it whatsoever. I actually enjoyed it.
Okay, that's interesting, Kel.
Yeah, I think it needed something. Maybe not quite as much and maybe not as in detail, but no, I think it needed something because you need to understand his mindset and why he genuinely just doesn't give a fuck. He's not just a shitty little kid that can't be bothered. He's gone through stuff and is struggling, basically. And I think it's good that it gives it a little bit of background to why he is the way he is.
Because for me, it would have been enough with it starting off, say, around the 18-minute, 20-minute mark, cutting out all the first stuff, and him having this attitude, and his mum saying, you're the one who punched a teacher, you're the one who's under house arrest, this is down to you. And then making a comment Like, it's not my fault your dad's not here, and it isn't your fault either. Get over it. It was a car accident. Bang, that would have done for me. I wouldn't have needed any build-up whatsoever with regards to fishing. And that fishing scene was added at the start of the film once they'd finished filming this, because the director thought, you know what? I want some kind of feeling into this and get the audience invested. So they did the fishing scene, and that wasn't even scripted. That was just all ad-lib. So it wasn't even part of the original shoot. So I don't know, it's so padded out for me.
No, it's fair enough, mate.
I think it was needed.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Maybe I'm being miserable. Who knows? It's a first.
That would be a change, wouldn't it?
I thought I'd get in there before anyone else dug me out of that. And I was saying, when I watched this earlier again, that when he's kind of watching... But now, you're on your phone, you've got the internet, boom, YouTube hadn't even really come out by then. So there was not the way it was now. So how many wanks would you have now if you're under house arrest for 3 months? Jesus Christ, I'd need buckets of ice.
Yeah, I'd be sore.
Oh my God. A little bit too much detail, guys, but thanks for that.
Just warn everyone, this podcast will contain foul language. And plot spoilers.
And talk about masturbation with sore dicks.
Exactly. Exactly.
Might make it perfectly obvious.
You would. I'd finish 3 months house arrest. My mates wouldn't see me. I'd come out with arms like Popeye, or one of them anyway.
Yeah. You'd be like Quagmire, wouldn't you, when he discovers the internet?
Oh my God.
Really would be. It would be just Amazon delivery of tissues, one after the other. It'd just be incredible.
Do you want anything from the shop, son? Yeah, I need another bulk load of tissues, please, Mum.
There's nothing else to do. What do you do?
That's it.
It's ridiculous. I mean, Kelly, what are you going to do? Read books? Do craft?
Watch films? To be fair, I'll give you some ammo. I'd sit in the hot tub and enjoy myself, or use the gym. That's what I'd do.
But you'd sit in the hot tub and enjoy yourself. That has got so many meanings.
Well, there you go.
No, I didn't say it like that, though, did I? I put the gym in there in between saying that. No,
too late.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you're going to twist what I say anyway, but you crack on.
But you couldn't spend 3 months in the hot tub, could you?
Gosh, you'd be so pruney.
You
couldn't spend 3 months solid wanking. I don't care how much you enjoy it.
Oh, I was a teenage boy once. Trust me, you can.
Mm. Put your back on that one, Neil.
Have you? Oh, I wonder what that was.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not the ceiling leaking, trust me. Amazing. But yeah, so he is just so bored. Yeah. And he's such... I do like the fact having... children like myself, and one of them is 19, the way he does the washing, shoves everything in, slams the door down, not properly closed, just randomly puts powder in, puts shit in the dishwasher, and then just leaves everything. It's half a job creating three more jobs to clear it up. I did like that, because it's so real.
I've not had that experience myself yet, thankfully. It won't be long, I'm sure.
No, you're in for a treat. You really are. And the Twinkie Tower as well. Apparently, he asked some people who've been on previous house arrests as to how they get through it, and that was where we came up with the idea of the Twinkie Tower, because they're so bored.
That's a mental one, that is. I wonder who came up with that idea first. Let's stick Twinkies together.
It's utter boredom, isn't it? And you get to the stage where... you're just looking out the window for something to do. And I do like, and it's old school, and it always works, the bag full of shit on the doorstep when those neighbourhood kids put it there.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You'd fucking freak out, wouldn't you? It's disgusting. It looks so real, isn't it? When he goes there and he's stamping on it and they do a close-up and it's just, oh, my God, oh, it's rank. Disgusting.
On his sock as well, of all things.
Yeah. Oh. That really would annoy me. I mean, thankfully, Kel, you've got private like gates and a big private courtyard, so this would never happen to you.
You wouldn't be able to get it on my doorstep. No, not, no, definitely.
Exactly,
not.
Exactly. I mean, the staff would probably shoot them, chase them off with guns anyway. Or dogs.
Out the guard towers,
Yeah, exactly. So, but us normal people, it's a risk that we have to put up with every day.
Us peasants, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the neighbours move in, and this is where it introduced to another character. We've got Ashley, played by Sarah Rumer, and she's not bad. The chemistry between them's all right. I've never seen her in something else since. And no. She's all right, isn't she?
She plays her character well, I suppose, which is sort of like a frustrating, the annoying girl that knows she's hot so she can do what she wants.
It's nice there's no attraction, though, Cal, isn't it? Instantly. But when he goes out on the grass and sees her, I like the fact they don't have that tropey, longing look at each other and a smile. That would have just been, oh, God, I know what's coming. Even though you do really anyway. It's nice.
You do know. And the look, there might not be the smile, but it is still an immediate attraction, especially from him.
Oh, from him. He's laying on his front. He's laying in the worst position to see a woman like that. Surprised when they didn't drag him away off the grass, they'd be like, someone's ploughed it. But his
one single plough.
It's quite nice. She's quite pleasing to the eye. And you know that she's going to come into it later on. One thing I did like, and it kind of fooled me to a certain extent when I watched this, that you know David Morse, Turner, the next door neighbour's going to come into it, and he's a big actor, really, compared to a lot of these people in 2007. And later on, when Hale's talking to Ashley, when he's chatting her up, Shia LaBeouf, that she kind of drops a hint that we had to move because of my dad. And he kept mum on her toes, and their relationship was broken. When I first watched this, I kind of wondered, is this going to be a double cross? And it's not David Morse, and he's just a very strange neighbour. And the fact is, it turns out to be Ashley's dad, because they had to move away due to him. I really didn't know if there was going to be a twist. Did you even kind of think about that?
No, that wasn't a thing I thought would happen, no.
Okay. That's just you, mate.
That's my life, to be honest. I mean, you could take in that position. It's really, really not a problem.
No, it's a good idea. It's a good take on it. It's just, no, my mind didn't go that way. I thought it was just sort of building her character, like the beginning of the film built his. I thought that's what it was. But it would have been interesting, wouldn't it?
It would have been interesting. It would have been a really good twist. It would have been kind of like Home Alone, where you see like the guy who shovels all the sand and everyone's all the snow, and everyone's saying, oh, he's a serial killer.
Mm.
And it turns out that he's a really nice bloke, and he saves them like from the wet bandits in the end, doesn't he?
He does indeed.
It would have been a nice plot twist. But it's not too long. And I'd say, roughly off the top of my head, for those who are watching this, about 22 minutes odd until Shia LaBeouf looks out the window and he sees young Ashley taking her top off. That's a scruple. Back in 2007, it was kind of peeping Tom. These days, where we're more liberal about these things, that you would be definitely fucked for that, wouldn't you? And not in a good way.
No, but the masturbation would have been increased.
It would, Dana. I think it would increase your own house price as well, wouldn't it? If you had that on tap.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I need to know what you guys see as a priority and acceptable. The fact that you've got this view from your house makes the house price better.
Well, I wouldn't give a shit about the house price. I would have been a teenager. Knowing that that's available to look at as a teenager, that's an untapped resource of pure
pleasure.
You'd
happily move in. You'd happily follow where your parents told you to go if that was there.
I already live there. It's not my fault she's moved in here and doesn't close her blinds.
Exactly.
I know, I think that's strange. I'm sorry, but you would close your blinds. I don't care who you are.
Some people
unless
don't.
You're an exhibitionist.
They like people watching, don't they? I mean, she might know that he's watching, and we do realise later on when she's laying on the bed reading the book, he's looking at her through binoculars and she looks up at him. She might be like an exhibitionist. I know she's not topless at that point, but she possibly might like that. There are people who do just like showing their bits off in their own house. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, if my neighbours see my dick, they see my dick.
It's so big.
Yay. Just WhatsApp me your address, mate.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. I'll stand there proud for you at the window. No problem.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'll
that's
even do you a windmill to say hello.
Oh, it's so good. That makes me very happy.
Too hot.
What? I am.
You are.
I live Miss Prim and Proper here.
No, you crack on if that's what you want to do. I would never greet anybody butt naked, but there you go.
I was about to say, you're not windmilling then.
No, I generally keep that tucked away quite nicely.
That's such an image. That really, really
is. Yeah, that's just one big clip.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Sorry.
But it's not too long until Ronnie arrives. And no, unsurprising that Shia LaBeouf, actually, before we do that, I did like the fact that he set out the boundaries, because when he does run after those kids, that the alarm goes off and Officer Gutierrez turns up, because he's asked to be on call. As soon as you get a call from this house, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be all over this kid to get revenge back on his cousin. So he sets out that boundary. Then Ronnie turns up and Shia LaBeouf's more upbeat. He goes around and says, look out this window. Look at this person. The world outside is just a TV show in itself, which it is to a certain extent. If you got used to people's routines, like your neighbours and their funny little quirks and ways, it must be quite entertaining. But again, he goes right to the window and he's saying to Ronnie, basically, this is the money shot. This is what I want you to look at. And Ashley's there in a swimming pool. And it gets a bit weird, doesn't it? And uncomfortable.
Here, come here.
Oh my God. There is a God. Who is she?
I don't know. What's stopping you?
It's already got uncomfortable when he was looking in the first place. So this just makes it worse.
I don't know. The first place was like, to be honest, it's human nature. If you saw this girl and she's very, very attractive. I'm not saying that this girl is, but she's, and someone who's very attractive as a neighbour. And then suddenly you saw her getting undressed or taking her bra off. I think just human nature and curiosity, you would look. Yes. I honestly think you would.
Neil's right there next to you.
So would you not then, Cal?
I honestly don't know. I want to say no, because that's the right thing to say. But yeah, maybe I'd be curious. Not for a woman. I'm not interested in seeing
another woman's tits. No, but if you saw your next door neighbour walking around and he had tight shorts on, he had quite a package or a six pack, and you were, and he caught your eye, just go with me on this one, whatever it'll be, whatever kink it is. And then there was that occasion where he was in his garden or the blinds are up, and he was going to get undressed or lift his top up. And you had that curiosity. I wonder what he looks like. Surely you would look just once at curiosity.
Probably, probably, yes.
Same.
We got there in the end.
Yeah, the prudishness has stepped aside, thank God.
I've never been called prudish. Well, I'm almost quite proud of that. I'm always quite proud of that. That's not normally what I get called.
You have now. Because you could then say they've overstepped the mark, because she's in the swimming pool. Fair enough, Ronnie hasn't seen her before. But Charlotte is like putting her on show. Look at this. And she hasn't got a clue about it. If she's got a clue, she knows, but she still carries on. That's different. But to keep looking like this, it starts to cross that line, I think, you know?
Well, it's naughty, isn't it? It's naughty. Everyone knows that. But he's a teenage boy, horny, got a fit neighbour, and he's under house arrest for 3 months. Give the kid a break.
Yeah, he hasn't got the internet, I suppose, has he?
Exactly. She's turned everything off. She's banned him from his Xbox, banned him from iTunes, because he's under house arrest, so he does more chores and all this type of stuff. You know, the poor kid's going to go mad.
Yeah. And she doesn't take, when they do meet, when he's kind of feigning getting the post out, that it doesn't take too much convincing, does she, that let's hook up, let's start to get to know each other, and let's just be possibly a little bit more than friends. They're very flirtatious, Kels, aren't they?
Yeah, very. But that's started when they looked at each other. So they both know what they're doing. She's not stupid and he's not subtle. So
No, and I do like the fact that throughout this that we've seen it already, we didn't obviously mention it, that the news on the radio, on the TV, they're talking about this blue car that's been seen, that's got a dent in the front, that's kidnapping women who are like redheads. And it's interesting because it's called, obviously, Disturbia. So they live in the suburbs, not in a massive city like New York, Los Angeles. So if you were a serial killer, which we learned that this guy is, but why would you go to the suburbs in a small town? And this is like local news. Why would you then start kidnapping people locally rather than in a massive city when you've got more choice and less chance of getting caught?
Maybe he's been doing it for a long time and he thinks he's uncatchable. So he's, rather than going far afield, he's like, oh, I'll just do it close to home. It's less travel.
When he is watching her, Ashley's dad comes in and has a bit like kind of a bit of an argument with her, and she watches it, or he watches it, and that was kind of one of the signs of, is he gonna kind of be more of a role in this? Is it a diversion tactic? I really, really wasn't too sure. But she reads the book and they do look at each other. Can she see him, do you think, or not?
Yeah.
When she looks up at the window.
Yeah.
I thought if this film wasn't going to be an R, first of all, then it got reduced to a 13. It would have been interesting if she did look up at him and he was like, shit, and he does kind of crouch down in his chair thinking, oh my God, that suddenly she starts to maybe take an item of clothing off to tease.
Rub one out.
Mm.
You have to take it that little bit further, don't you? You just have to see the line and you just think, no, fuck it, I'm going to go for it.
Lines are boring. Ignore the lines. Just do what, say what you mean. There's no point.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Lines become blurred.
Yeah.
Just ignore not, the line. Just...
They're not really lines. It's more shading, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's right. Not too long until we see David Morse, Mr. Turner, pull into his drive in the car with a dent on the front. The car's exactly the same make and model and colour to the one that the news are saying that's been seen by a witness capturing a woman. And that's the seed. That's it, really. And he's kind of hooked. And I love the next scene. And it got me when Shia LaBeouf's looking in Mr. Turner's garden to see what he can see, because he knows he's just there mowing his lawn. He's told Ronnie that every day, twice a day, in fact. And then as he's looking through the fence, he comes towards like the crack in the fence. And he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I can see you. And he grabs, is it someone's cat that's there? Or
it's a rabbit.
A rabbit. And you think he's talking to Shia LaBeouf. And I think it's a really good tense scene. It works for me, Neil, honestly. I really like that.
Mm, no, definitely. I thought it was very good because you can see the panic in Shia's face. Just like, fuck, I've been caught out. What's he going to do to me? Could be a murderer. I'm next. But it's just a rabbit.
He did. That's quite sad, really, because you know that after you cut that deer up later on in the film, that rabbit is dead within about 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah, that's in a stew. Either of you two had rabbit before?
No, I've never had rabbit. I don't think I could eat it, to be honest.
No, I couldn't.
Yeah, I have. But it's not all that. Got to be honest.
Really? Does it taste of like just like chicken, like everyone says everything tastes like?
Sort of. It's just a bit gamey, really. I had it in pasta once, yeah.
So rabbit in pasta.
Yeah. It was like it was a game pasta actually, hence why it was all gamey, but it was all sorts of weird animals in it. Yeah.
I couldn't eat that. I've never eaten that. It's just
eating horse or something.
It wouldn't bother me if I did.
I've never had horse either, but that's not because I won't eat it, it's just because I've never been anywhere that sold it.
That's all they're good for, glue and food, isn't it?
Wow.
Anyone that rides horses, I don't care if I've offended you.
Yes, you do. Don't be horrible.
I don't.
Don't be fucking horrible.
Sorry, do you ride horses?
No.
Oh, I thought you might do with your massive estate. Sorry.
But you have, though, haven't you? Thank you.
Oh, fuck off.
What? I just wanted to clarify that. That was all.
Why? What was the need? What was the purpose? There's no need for that. There is no need.
No, because if we do a film, say, Black Beauty, we can, if we want to get any horse questions, we can direct them at you.
Well, you can direct them at me, but I won't be able to answer them.
Yeah, you'll be a square... What's the word?
Equine expert.
Yeah. That's it. Thank you.
My bloody pleasure. But oh, back to the true. Film, another peeping Tom moment there. Funnily enough, Ashley, who seems to spend half her time in another bikini. And this time you've got Ronnie and both Cal at the window, virtually rubbing one out, haven't you?
Who takes your clothes off like that, though? If she must know she's being watched. If you are getting changed at a pool in your own house, oh, you don't do that. It's very sexual. It's very suggestive. If there's no one watching you and you're there all on your own, you don't do that. It doesn't happen like that.
No, she's being very suggestive. And I think from the previous scene when she's in the room and she looks up at Cal's window and sees him, then I think she does know. Because even when she's in the pool, she looks up at the window and sees him looking down. So she gets out and again looks. So she does know. So she is putting on a show for them. It's not like she's shouting out, you pervs, what are you looking at?
She's loving the attention.
Yeah. And she ups some that pressure do. When she knocks on the door and they both shit themselves, don't they?
As you would.
Yeah.
As you would when you're breaking the law, as Kelly's pointed out.
Exactly. You'd worry more if she knocked on the door and the old man was there.
Yeah.
That's when the shit would really, really hit the fan, because you definitely think, fuck, I'm in massive trouble. But it's not long until they kind of enroll her in this murder mystery, because Ronnie's invested, because they've seen the news reports, and obviously being a best friend of Cal, that is pretty much easy to follow. But she is as well. And the next thing, he's trying to big up the car, the damage and stuff like that. But when he pulls the car out of the garage, that Mr. Turner, David Maltz, has had the car fixed, hasn't he?
He has. Yes. Well, it's a lovely car, to be fair. I wouldn't want to drive around in that car with a dent.
No, it's absolutely cracking, isn't it?
If I can afford to have it fixed.
Mm. Oh, I completely agree. It's a really, really nice car. But why would you go and commit crime in a car that's quite distinctive?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what makes me think that he's been doing it a long time.
Yeah, we see all the trophies he's collected later on, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. So he's obviously become sort of blasé with it. But he just got away with it so much, he doesn't really care anymore because he's never going to get caught.
Yeah, and he's been in that address, I think, 3 years. But it looks like he's been killing for a lot longer than that. That maybe he moves from location to location. I would have liked to have known a bit more about him, because I think he's just a great screen presence. And I'd like to have known how long he's been killing for. Or even him tell someone, I've been doing this for 10 years. I'm not going to let a shitty kid like you stop me. I would have liked something like that.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And they spy on him. And I think this is a good scene, Kales, when you've got Cal and Ashley looking, and they're, again, heavily invested in something's going to go wrong. Plus, part of this is for kicks as well. And Turner does bring a girlfriend back, and he walks up behind her with that knife. And I do like that. They're going, he's going to kill her, he's going to kill her. And he just cuts the label off the back. And that's it. And you think, oh, my God, anti-climax. But she is a redhead. And he goes for redheads. And it's not too long until she is seen being chased around the house, isn't it?
It is, but that's very predictable. I found that quite a letdown, to be honest.
Why?
Because it was the first person he brought back. She just happens to be a redhead. He happens to get a knife out. So it's just very predictable that it fits the story, and it's not playing with his mind, because it would have been better if on this occasion nothing happened and then it was the next time, because it adds a bit more suspense into it. But you knew what was going to happen. How it was going to go.
I get what you mean, but they did try and cover that, because she's obviously, he films her running around the house and he comes up behind her and gets her. And I like the fact that the flash goes off in the video camera, so that's when bang, Turner knows that he's being watched. But Turner himself dresses up as a woman try and throw him off his scent, doesn't he? So they do try and twist it like that.
Yeah, but you know, as the viewer, you know what he's doing, because you don't actually see the person walking to the car or coming out of the house or whatever. You just see the car going. So you know what's happened.
But you see this long hair. Did you, when you watched this first time, did you know that woman was dead, or did you think when you saw the person getting out with long hair that that was her?
No, I didn't think that was her. I thought that was him all along.
What about yourself, Neil?
I thought it was her, but like Kelly said, you can't really see, can you? So it's done well. to sort of try and throw you off, and it did sort of throw me off, to be honest. So yeah, it fooled me.
It did fool me.
Egg on my face.
Yeah, and they did try to get David Morse to dress up as a woman in this and be seen as a woman, but he refused to do that because he said it just wasn't in his role, in his profile of a killer, because he did method act whilst he was on set. He didn't speak to any of the kids in this, and he completely blanked them. I would have said I was doing that for method act if there were a bunch of wankers just to get out of talking to him. But that's what he did, and when the filming stopped, that he was apparently a very, very nice guy. But it did for me. I thought it was her leaving because I just thought it's going to be too obvious that there's going to be a woman and he's going to, as you said, Kel, funnily enough, witness a first murder the first time he looks. And this will throw him off scent. But it clearly did for me and you, Neil.
Did indeed. Did indeed. But there was a scary bit in this, wasn't there, where he's looking and then he's just at the window looking back.
I like that.
Yeah, that's proper fuck moment, isn't it? Just, Yeah.
Those things when there's no word said and you're just looking really are disturbing. And when me and Kel did Run last week, there's a scene where the daughter's using the internet or trying to log onto the internet and it's not working. And as she kind of leans back in her chair, as she's like, the body language is like, I've given up. It shows the mum in the distance just watching her in the dark, doesn't it, Kel?
Yeah, it shows her as a shadow, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a really creepy scene. Just looking at her. And I love the fact that Kyle wakes up the next morning, goes downstairs in the kitchen, and who is it? It's no one other than Mr. Turner himself. And for the first time, like physically as a presence, you get to see what a big guy he is, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, from a distance, you think he's just an average guy, don't you? But when he's standing there in the kitchen, he's not someone you'd want to mess with.
No! Whoa. Just take it easy. Easy, slow down. Robert Turner, your neighbor, I just live behind
you. Yeah, I know who you are. What are you doing in my house?
Morning, honey.
I think I startled him.
Oh, I ran into Robert at the grocery store. I had a flat tire when I came out. We tried to change it, but that adapter thingamajig.
Yeah, my dad put those bolts on.
Well, it did not work. Instead, it scrimped it.
My fault.
No, you saved my life.
No, and he's got a kind of Hannibal Lecter hair all combed back. And he has that look in his eyes of, I'll kill you without even changing expression. I love that.
Yeah, he does it very well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does. And I thought he was going to befriend Carrie Ann Moss, Julie, a lot sooner and them spark up more of a romantic relationship. But that doesn't seem to work, does it? It doesn't happen.
Well, she's not a redhead, is she?
Just to possibly kind of throw everyone off the scent, or just to fuck Kale off, that maybe you do that, you know what I mean? To get inside the house. Because this is... It kind of reminded me Fright Nights, like this, a 1985 film where a kid is looking, he was not a kid, he's a teenager, and the next door neighbour is a vampire. And it's really, really classic film. They remade it with Colin Farrell several years later. And that Mr. Turner's in the house, David Morse is in the house. And obviously a vampire, the rule is they can only come in your house if you invite them in. And later on in the film, the vampire is there, and it's just, it's really good. And this was like a massive nod to that. And if anyone ever gets a chance, you have to buy it, sadly, on Amazon. But Fright Night, the original, I think it's 85, is a really, really good film. It's like this, much better. But obviously involving vampires, so it's definitely going to be true. But that's well worth checking out.
I think the point of this, though, wasn't it? It was just to show that his power, in the sense that he could just come into the house, be a normal guy. He's sort of befriended the mum. And it's nice. I'm like the fact that they didn't start dating. It was just a shot across Kale's bowels, wasn't it? Just to say, don't fuck with me. You know, I'm going to come into your house and be nice and, you know, I'm everywhere. I know what you're doing, sort of thing. So I thought it was nice they did it this way rather than him sort of befriending her and shagging his mum and all this type of stuff.
Yeah, because I suppose if it would have been the other way around, I'd be criticising it for doing that, and it's been done in so many films.
Exactly.
So, yeah, fair play. I love the party. She says to him, I'm having a party. And he's even surprised. What? You don't know anyone. You've got no friends. You've only just moved here. And he's so jealous, that green-eyed monster, because she sees him cuddling this other guy by the pool. And that's it. And he blasts out Loving You by Minnie Riperton on the speaker. That's a party killer, isn't it?
Yeah, just a bit.
It's a lovely song, though.
No, it's not. It's awful.
Do you think so? I like that song. I've always liked that song.
Wailing. Fuck that.
I like it. I really, really do. He plugs his iPod Shuffle in, and that is it. I mean, Kel, do you like Minnie Riperton, that song?
I don't have a strong hatred for it, but it's not my cup of tea.
No.
Any song where there's wailing in it like that just drives me mad.
See, I'm a bit soppy. I used to like this song when I was younger on one of my like love albums.
Did you? Oh, no, I won't go down there. No, okay.
You had love albums?
Yeah, you used to get in the old days, like, That's What I Call Love. And there was, like, Boys to Men and Minnie Riperton and different songs like that on there. And it's just, it had its time. It had its place.
Why? I need to explore this. Why did you have such albums?
I was just in touch with my kind of softer feelings.
And then side, harder, you know what I mean? Part of you?
Pardon?
And then harder part of you? Is that what it was used for?
The harder part of me, yeah, is always there. But I love that. Women love that, you know what I mean? It's just nice. The right song for the right mood, the right atmosphere.
Right.
Okay.
Chat a woman up, you're trying to put Airborne on or something like that. It's just not going to work.
Maybe they like that.
Well, if you're lucky enough to find the real man. Woman, yeah. Then, email the film real cast. @gmail.com if you are that woman, because yeah, definitely that is my kind of girl.
There you go.
There's not many around. There really, really isn't, I'm sure. But the party is broken up, but she does have a kind of shit fit, but she really lets him off very easy, which it kind of fits in with the film's dynamic, doesn't it?
He does the cheesiest fucking bullshit, doesn't he, though, to be
this
fair.
Is awful. This is... No one talks like this. The line he gives her is absolute shit.
What are you doing? You're reading. Books, you know, not Us Weekly or 17 or, you know, but you're reading substantial books. So do this, you do this thing where it's like an OCD thing, but it's not. It's, whenever you're leaving your room, you grab the doorknob and you turn, you're getting ready to leave, but you don't, you stop. And you back up and you turn to the mirror and you stare at yourself. But it's not like a, you know, I'm so hot type of stare. You know, it's more like, who am I really? And ask yourself that. I mean, that's so cool. Also, you look out the window all the time like I do, only you're looking at the world, you know. Trying to figure it out, trying to understand the world, trying to figure out why it's not in order, like your books.
And she falls for it all, doesn't she? But Kels, tell me this wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work on me, no, because I'm not, I'm sorry, I can't do that kind of shit. But I can see how people do it and I can see how it works.
Can you?
Because... Yeah, I can see how that works because it's, I mean, to me, it's all just bollocks. It's all just a line and it's like, yeah, fuck off. That's you're just the perv. You've been looking at me and you've been perving. There's nothing else to it. You're just trying to flare it up and wrap it up in pretty wrapping paper. But I can see how people that don't see the worst in people every time something happens can think, oh, he's actually paying attention to me. Oh, he notices all the little things about me. Oh, he's really cute. He's actually noticed things other people haven't noticed before. Yes, that's because he's perving on you through binoculars from next door.
Yeah. He wasn't just wanking over me.
Exactly. He's absolute fucking bollocks.
Yeah. I agree.
Like, shit, I've been caught out. Yes, I've choked my chicken to you so many fucking times. What bullshit can I come out with?
Yes. That's exactly what he's doing in reality. He's like, shit, how do I make this sound good?
And no teenager ever in the history of the world has ever talked so much bollocks. No boy ever at that age would ever be able to make that up on the spot. Ever.
No.
I can see you guys doing it, if I'm honest.
Whoa.
Not as a teenager, I wouldn't.
No, now. I don't mean as a teenager. You didn't have the confidence, I wouldn't have thought, as a teenager to do that.
What if we're being tape-recorded interviewed at a police station?
Yeah, that's how you try and
trying to justify.
Yeah, it's okay.
I just wanted to know what she was like. You know, I saw she was an intellectual. And
she reads not normal
she
books.
She touches the knob and then doesn't touch it and then touches it again.
Oh, no way. I would not use that. No
the
way.
The fact that I was touching my knob at the same time has nothing to do with it. Yeah. It's fucking bullshit.
I could totally see you guys doing that. Getting yourselves into trouble and then back. Tracking as quick as possible.
Oh, I could see you doing exactly what Ashley does, to be fair. I want to go in my hot tub. Oh, I might not wear a top. Oh, I might just walk around in my bikini around my garden in and out my hot tub.
Do you know what? You won't believe me. I know you won't. But I hate the fact that people might see me like that. I hate it.
See, now that's some bullshit.
Yeah, I know you won't, but it creeps me out because there is a flat that looks in and I don't like it at all.
Still do it, don't you?
No, because I walk out there in like a toweling dressing gown thing and don't take that off until I'm in the hot tub.
But you
get your dressing gown all wet?
Yeah.
Not quite, no. But yeah, I wear that until I get in the hot tub and then I'm underneath the water and no one can see anything anyway.
What? Yeah, but you're naked when you're in the hot tub, so it makes no difference.
No, I've never been naked in the hot tub. Thank you very much. I never said that. I never suggested that.
Oh, it's all coming out now, isn't it? Blimey.
Exactly.
No. I never suggested that.
It doesn't make a difference.
No naked hot tub, thank you.
We don't judge on the podcast. You know that.
That's bollocks. You are judging. Sat right there.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have said you go naked in there, should you?
I didn't. And it is recorded, so you can go back on it and see.
Well,
I never said that.
The only way we'll prove it is by kangaroo courting it. Neil, what'd you say?
I'm inclined to believe that she probably does.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, my God! Oh, so, I can't believe you
order,
caved.
Order,
oh,
I didn't cave. I just don't.
Oh, I'm not
Thank
even
you.
Gonna...
You can't argue no. kangaroo court.
Oh, thank you.
Let's move on with the next scene.
Let's move on. Next item.
Thank you very much. It will teach you. So the next scene we see is Mr. Turner himself, who is in his room while Shia LaBeouf's being kissed and fondled, that he's in his the room above the garage cutting up. Is it a deer? Is it a person? We really, really don't know. But this is witnessed. And I think it is the deer. I don't think it's the redhead that he's cutting up, because he's got this kind of room where there's blood, there's claret going all over these sheets, and it's way over the top. It's got to be the deer. It's not the woman, is it?
What, in the top?
Yeah. Like, at the time, when you see him, he's on, like, this big old fucking circular saw, and there's claret going everywhere.
No. Well, you're led to believe that, though, aren't you? Because, obviously, at the end of the film, you know more about his house and everything. Mm. But at the time, that's what you're believed is potentially going to be the case.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's just dragging this massive tarp, leaving blood everywhere. But there again, would you be that brazen to do that in that time of the evening and stuff? You wouldn't, would you?
No, you wouldn't use fucking circular saws and everything in a suburban neighbourhood. And another thing which kind of dates this film is they decide to follow him whilst he goes to the hardware store. Ronnie is going to go try and break into his car to get the garage code so they can get into the house. And you've got Ashley in the store photographing him. Back in 2007, there is no way these flip phones had such good cameras, and you could send instant photos to computers with such great quality. Absolute nonsense.
No, I agree. The dial-up would not have allowed that.
It would have taken about fucking half an hour for one picture.
it would just slowly appeared on the screen.
Yeah. It's loading. It's buffering. Wait one.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was hard. That sort of age, wasn't it?
Yeah, kids don't know how easy they've got it to press a button and something comes up. it's good tension because they're trying to find where he is in the store, being Ashley, so they can give Ronnie the heads up. And he breaks into the car and he gets to the garage. And it's kind of all a lot of nothing with this tension, really, what Ronnie's doing. He's just trying to find the code and the clicker to get in the garage. But I love the fact that when Ashley tries to leave, because she's letting Carol know that I've missed him, I've lost him, and Ronnie's got to go, that he jumps into her car. And he's very, very cold and very clever what he says to her, because he doesn't actually physically threaten her, does he?
What are you doing?
Well, I'm officially welcoming you to the neighborhood. I know that you've been following me. No, no, don't deny it. I'm not upset. And quite frankly, I don't even want to know why. I just would like you to know that I'm a little on the shy side. So, short of all this sneaking around and some kind of hip, new-aged way of coming on to a somewhat older man, I really feel obliged to tell you that I rather enjoy my privacy.
No, but taking the keys out of the car and all that sort of stuff, fuck me. You know, she plays, the acting in this is brilliant, I think, from both of them, to be honest, because the sheer panic and fear on her face and how calm he is and threatening without actually being threatening is really good.
Oh, but David,
you would
Morse.
Shit your pants, wouldn't you?
Oh, Morse is brilliant in this. Again, it's all about the tone in his voice and the look in his eyes. And as you said, mate, she plays that terrified teenager really, really well, because reading between the lines, it kind of, I will kill you, basically.
Yeah.
If you do anything else, I just want a peaceful life and not to be disturbed. And it's kind of saying, I want to carry on killing people and don't get in my way, basically.
Yeah. Look, I'm murdering people. You don't need to get involved, all right? Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, exactly. Just leave me alone and let me carry on. But it's done so well. And I love the fact that the tension is there for her. But for me, it's kind of lost on Ronnie. He's just a bit too fucking goofy for me.
Yeah, he's a bit of an odd character, isn't he, Ronnie?
Yeah,
he's sort of used as this pawn, isn't he? And he's a bit thick.
He is. He's meant to be kind of bring the element of comedy, and it just doesn't work. But they're more and more in the belief that he is a fucking serial killer. And they get these kind of baby cameras, like baby monitor cameras. There's no way that these, again, would produce the picture quality that they have when they break into, or when Ronnie is told to break into Turner's house, is there? These would be pixelated beyond belief.
And it wouldn't work at that range either.
No.
It stretches your belief, doesn't it? But it's a good addition in the film.
Yeah, it's technology, and it kind of shows this is what we can do now. We've got this technology, whereas like Hitchcock's Rear Window was completely different. But there's no way, if you're breaking into someone's house, Kels, thinking or doing it because you think they're a psychopathic killer, fuck doing that, would you?
No. No, there's no way I would go in there, especially on my own. I know, like you say, they've got the cameras and stuff, but if something happens, you're on your own against a bloke who, as you have repeatedly said, is absolutely fucking huge. So you stand no chance whatsoever if he actually catches you. So, no, I wouldn't do that.
I mean, they're recording it, aren't they? Because Kyle's recording it on a video camera, which I did like, because it is precautions. And if something does happen, or there is a fight or any confessions, you'd like to think you'd have it recorded on camera. But due to the range, as you said, Neil, and the picture quality, it's not great. And you kind of get the Blair Witchy kind of scene where Ronnie's being chased through the house. And I thought he was dead. I honestly did at this point. I thought that was it. You're not going to see him again. Did you guys?
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was dead.
Yeah, I thought he was brown.
Kind of hoped as well, I've got to be honest.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, poor Ronnie.
I did, and it causes Kale to go out of the range of where his tag is to obviously rescue his mate, which he would do. And unfortunate for him, who's there? Officer Gutierrez, who comes and is more than happy to take him down. But he kind of puts enough suspicion, sows that seed, enough for them to go into the house and have a look. And surely when we learn later on in the film, a bit like when we did Sicario at the start of it, where the whole house is littered with various bodies, there'd be a fucking smell in that house, surely.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Especially when you see it afterwards, it's just all under the floorboards and stuff. There's no way you'd hide that.
No. It's like, have you seen the film Abigail? The vampire girl?
No.
In Abigail, they've got this kind of sewage swimming pool, which is full of corpses. And they even kind of comment on the smell of that is absolutely rancid. And in this, they've got exactly the same thing. And I kind of wondered whether he did bring the deer in to cover the smell.
Maybe.
Because it's
like you still wouldn't smell the deer. The deer's in the garage. So you would think the smell would be outside.
Yeah.
But the bodies and everything are in the house, just like Neil said, under the floorboards. So that the smell wouldn't travel that far through the walls, but it would travel through the floorboards.
Yeah, and once you get that smell in, I mean, the dead body smell is...
You can't
smell.
Get rid of it.
No.
It's a smell you'll never forget, is it? So
yeah, 100%. But he does, they pull the tarp back and he's got that deer in. But again, kind of what I don't understand and why Kale, Shia LaBeouf, loses his shit is they say, well, this is the deer. And he goes, well, where's my friend? Why didn't Ronnie then appear?
Well, he explains that, doesn't he? He explains that because he plays that cruel trick on him, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, that is evil, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
I thought that was really
trick.
Mean.
Yeah, the fact that he sends him that message saying, then obviously shows him looking like he's dead and then he jumps out. I mean, fuck me, how he doesn't punch him, I do not know.
Mm.
It's weird because Shia LaBeouf's shitting himself. And I think that's what pisses me off about Ronnie's character, that he's so distant from what's actually happening. He's fully involved in it, as in to go into the house. And Shia LaBeouf goes to rescue him, risks arrest himself.
It shows you a difference in character, doesn't it? Because it shows you that Shia will go in and risk his own, like, getting nicked and everything. But the other guy won't do the same. He looks after himself and himself only. Because he doesn't come out because he doesn't want to get nicked. Mm. But he's happy for his mate to go down for it when there was a genuine belief that he was going to die.
Yeah, and it's done well. It's a great joke to a certain extent, as in it has the impact. I honestly thought when they showed him, and you think it's a text from Turner to say, I'm watching you and I'm in your house, whatever, and they show the dead body of Ronnie, I thought he was 100% dead placed in his house.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was the first sort of thing of look at that, and then he'd sort of appear behind him or some fucking creepy shit or something like that, you know.
Yeah, because we're in like that. An hour and 20 minutes into an hour and 45 minute film with no kills that we've seen as yet, aren't we?
Yeah.
So I kind of stringing it out as in you want to see someone fucking dead. And if anyone I want to see dead, I want to see Ronnie with his neck broken and just fucking slung in the cupboard, because I would have at least got from fucking payback and satisfaction. And I wouldn't have fucking forgiven him for that joke either, as quick as bloody Kale did. I know that.
No,
definitely not. Definitely not.
No.
Yeah. No.
And again, a
weird
scene that does not make sense at the end of this film. It was fucking pisses me off. And I watched it again tonight and thought, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when Carrie Ann Moss, Julie is like, right, I need to go across to Turner's house. I need to try and get you out of the shit so he doesn't press any charges. She walks across to Turner's house, has a conversation with him, a civil conversation. He's saying, boys will be boys, don't worry about it. The police don't believe anything. He's going through a hard time. I had no idea he had life this tough. And she says, thanks for being understanding. And then, so it's done. So why would he then grab her head? She's not a redhead. Why would he then grab her head and smash it and knock her out to kill her? It doesn't fit his profile and it doesn't make sense.
I can't disagree with you. at all. I thought it was a very, very strange turn of events.
He's got away with it.
It's an odd tactic, but he does explain why, doesn't he?
Why? I must have missed that.
It's his long, drawn-out way of trying to get revenge on Shia, because he goes into... After he's smashed his mum's head in, he goes in there and ties him up, doesn't he? Or he gets him and tapes him all together. And he says, you've killed your best mate because he was cheating on... Or he was sleeping with your girlfriend. And you slit your mum's throat because she blames you for the death of your dad. That's when he starts to cry. And he's trying to frame the kid for basically everything to try and get the scent off of him.
You are really going to snap? First, you killed your buddy because he was calling your girlfriend behind your back. And now we gotta bring your mom over here so you can slit her throat because she just wouldn't stop blaming you for killing your dad.
It's a shit like story, and it's a crap way to end it, because killing her just make, or trying to kill her, makes the whole thing just ridiculous. But that is his idea, that is his plan, and that's why he does it. Which,
yeah, I agree with what you're saying, because he does say that, but it, I don't know, it's really strange, because he's saying, oh yeah, you slit your mum's throat and all this type of stuff, but you know what about the injuries to her head, where the fact that you've just smashed her head into a fucking door frame and all this other stuff, you know, there's so many holes in that plan. It's ridiculous. Which, and
it is.
And like Stu said, there's no reason to do it. Mm-hmm. He's got away with it, so to speak. And obviously the film needed to go somewhere. It was just a very odd way of doing it.
This doesn't fit his profile, and there's no explanation, but it's a plot driver onto what happens next. And he knocks her, Carrie Ann Moss, Julie, out. And goes across. And I like the fight he has. I like the fact that conveniently they see that when Ronnie's running, that his camera falls over. Wow, that's really convenient. There's suddenly this 1080p camera that's suddenly been invented in 2007 finds a body, a face through the air vent.
Yeah.
And then Turner's there and has a fight. Turner would fucking destroy Kale, wouldn't he? In real life, there's way he would fucking, he'd own him completely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it shows, obviously, the amount of fight that someone would have when they're that scared. You know, that whole sort of fight-flight type of thing. So it's good that he put up a fight, but you are right. The size difference alone would have... not a chance. Yeah.
And that's when he says the whole plan, like doing all these Austin Powers films. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to do this, you're going to do that, and your mum's over there and I'm going to kill her, and it's just... very, very nicely tied up. So it kind of sets the clock ticking. Do you think Ronnie, who got a nice baseball bat around the head, and it's one of those proper metal ones, do you think he's dead? Can we say he is? We don't see him again, do we?
No, you don't.
But they don't seem that upset, so I think he survived.
I don't think they would be upset.
Ultimate revenge for playing that evil joke on him.
Yeah, maybe, actually, yeah.
I'd be quite
happy. Joke's on you.
Yeah.
But it's a case of Ashley's suddenly conveniently brought into this, and there is that fight. It's that cat and mouse around the house. And they don't need to call the police because he's got his tag on. And he's all, you know what I mean?
But that annoys me because. Yeah. When they start the fight and he runs downstairs and the guy is smashing at him with the baseball bat, why the fuck doesn't he just run out of the door? Because he knows every time he's done that before, police are there within like a minute. So why does he bother trying to go for the base unit? For fuck's sake, just leave your house.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just run out. That's all you need to do.
Panic, I suppose. But yeah, you are completely right.
Just and leave your house.
Point. And every occasion, the police are there seconds, like 10 seconds. There is a unit, there's two units turn up. It's just in this case, there obviously isn't, which is convenient. And again, Shia LaBeouf runs over with some garden shears to rescue his mum, and Gutierrez is called, and he's off duty. Bless him. They say, "I know you finished, but the alarm's gone off." And this is kind of, I don't know, it's not payback. She's done nothing wrong, Gutierrez, has he? So he goes to the house, and lovely and neatly, the way he gets his head twisted by Turner and his neck broken is just superb. Does he deserve that, guys?
Yes and no. It's harsh, isn't it? But the fact that he's made his mission to be an absolute dick to Shia's character just because the teacher was his cousin or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, he's made it his mission, isn't he, to fuck this kid over.
Mm.
So he deserves something. Neck being broken, maybe not, but, you know, being knocked out probably would have been enough.
Yeah, that's what I think, Kel.
Yeah, I think it was a bit harsh. He is being a bit of a prick, but he doesn't deserve to have his neck broken, no.
No, I thought it was pretty harsh. He's just doing his job end of the day, and he does go in the house with the gun raised. So he does, at that point, when he gets his neck broken, he's doing it, saving life or limb of someone. And Shia LaBeouf's in the house, and he finds the kill room, a freezer full of ice, tables where bodies are taken apart, loads of trophies through previous deaths. And we see when he's going around the house that there are a lot of bodies. He has been doing this, and they've decayed. So he's done this for a long, long time and been a killer. But it doesn't explain why at this stage he's so fucking stupid and drops his guard, which is annoying. And that's when he finds that pool full of corpses. We don't see how many, but it turns into, when he sees his mum tied up, a fight. I think Shiloh's got shears and Turner's got a knife. And it's just, I don't know, it's a bit of an anticlimax, really, isn't it? He gets stabbed by Carrie Ann Moss, and they get some shears right in the stomach, doesn't he?
Yeah, I like the shears part.
I thought that was good.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty brutal, to be honest.
Good way to go, isn't it? With shears. And you end up floating. If you're going to die from infection, if you do live from the shears, because he just lands in like the pool of rotten corpses, which is absolutely disgusting. It's done well.
I didn't know if that was like embalming fluid or something like that, because in the thing it's all about, like, when they sort of elaborate a bit more into the murderer, that obviously he preserves them. So I didn't know if it was just water or some sort of fluid to keep them sort of less decayed.
It could, yeah, it could well be, which is maybe why, again, there's not a smell.
It smells so bad.
Mm.
But the end's like a massive anticlimax. They kill him and just walk out the house. There's still not really many police there, considering that Gutierrez hasn't reported in, if they've checked on him. I would expect loads of police to be there. And then the next person we see is Viola Davis, Detective Parker, who says, right, we'll take the tag off for good behaviour. Good behaviour? He's just fucking solved the crime for a multiple murderer.
You know, I think you're the first one to ever get one of these things taken off early for good behavior.
Good behavior?
That's what I'm calling it. You got a problem with it, call somebody who cares.
Good behavior.
You know, I set to pay the incarceration fee, Mrs. Brecht?
You're kidding.
No, she's not kidding.
Yeah.
It's so underwhelming, isn't it?
It is. I have to say as well, when they both walk out of the garage, it's so over Hollywoodized, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's awful.
Armageddon slow-mo walk.
Wasn't it? I was like, there's no need for this whatsoever.
No, it's just, why didn't they say, this person apparently has eluded police for 20 years. He's killed 17 people. He's called the Redhead Strangler or something like that. Put a bit of perspective on the job that he's done. But no, it's like he's got a cat out of a tree or fucking save the kid drowning.
Yeah.
Like, it's just absolute bollocks. It really, really annoyed me.
And then charge him for the last day as well.
Mm.
Yeah, today counts. And they suggest to them fucking pay another $12.
Yeah. I got more satisfaction from him ringing the neighbour and getting those kids in trouble for streaming illegal pornography, pretending he's the cable company, and the mum finding them. That was more satisfying, wasn't it?
Oh, definitely. Getting brilliant. One back I on those it. Little shits.
It was so that was good.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And
I've just thought, watching this, of course Ronnie's in it, because the film ends with them
he's
kissing.
Filming.
Yes, there
and
you go.
Ronnie's being the voyeur. He's carrying on. They've started to make porn, haven't they?
Yeah, saying that this is going to be the best or most popular video on YouTube.
So he is there. Of course he didn't die. I completely forgot about that. He actually makes a porn film at the end of it, which is a really weird way to end it, by making a porn film.
It is, really. Yeah.
Is it the knock on the head that's done this, that's turned Ronnie into like a deviant?
Well, he's already got into the voyeurism, so it's, maybe it's the next logical step.
Yeah, that's true. And it does end up on a close-up. So I'll try and find this on like YouPorn or something like that. I wonder it's what the film's going to be called. Is it not? I thought it was real life.
No, sorry, mate. You're not going to find that.
I thought this film was like found footage.
No, sadly not.
Jesus Christ. But, Kelly, this was your film, 2007, Disturbia. Tell us about it.
I've not really much to say. It was, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was definitely out of my most recent film choices. It's the best one.
Wow, how high was that bar? Let's talk about that.
No, let's not. Let's not talk about that for too long.
Yeah,
moving on. Yeah, but it could have been worse. Come on, my film choices have been shocking. So this was, for me, this was pretty good.
Yeah, again, the bar's not that high. But what would you score this then?
I don't know. I'd say it's worth watching. I guess I'd give it a 3.
That's impressive. That's really, really impressive. I didn't expect that score, but fair play to you. Neil?
I actually really enjoyed this film. It's quite predictable in places, obviously, and it's very much of its age and a bit teenage angst and all that sort of shit. But as a film in general, it's a good little watch, to be honest. It doesn't really make you think too much, has a few twists and turns and everything else like that. So no, I enjoyed it. Had some good comedy moments in it, had some questionable voyeurism, which I don't see as a problem. and obviously Kelly does, but you know, whatever. She's the one that gets naked in a hot tub, so not
exactly.
Me.
In your dreams, maybe.
Excuse me. Don't bring that into it, thank you very much. Yeah, so no, I'd sort of go down the middle as well, 3. I'd say, yeah, watch it, give it a go. It's a good film.
Definitely, I'd say, okay, what you say, I'd give it exactly the same score, and I'd say it's got its place. Really harmless, inoffensive. If you've got an hour and 45 minutes to waste and you just want to be kind of mildly entertained, it does its job, doesn't it? Everyone does their job in it, and it's just quite an entertaining, inoffensive film. And yeah, it will never set the world on fire. I probably wouldn't want to watch it again for a long while, but I'd recommend it to anyone who's not seen it. It's on Netflix in the UK at the moment for free, but I don't know how long that will be. But yeah, it's a pretty good film. But we don't know what we're going to do next week, as per usual. But one thing, we have got our night out coming up. We are playing Crazy Golf for the next introduction of the podcast. So the next time you listen to this, whoever does the introduction will be the loser of the Crazy Golf.
Yeah. Oh, that's not good. I'm shit at golf.
We'll have to choose some kind of Vietnamese film.
It's not real
film.
Golf. It's not real golf.
It's
fine.
The guy that's been practicing.
Yeah, you've got some sneaky rounds in.
Look, if I want to try and entertain my children in some way over a weekend, and golf is an easy way of doing it, then I shall do that. Thank you very much.
But yeah, when we went competitive skydiving, you took them skydiving as well. It's just a really weird twist that you're doing.
They need to experience all the things they can when they're younger, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't judge my parenting just because it might mean that you lose at something.
Not judging your parenting, just judging you.
Judge me all you like, because I fucking... Judge me all you like. I know what I am.
The pressure's on. It's going to be very, very good fun.
I've already said I'm not that good, all right? Stu is the professional golfer out of everyone. So if we're all going to start pointing fingers at who's going to be the best, it's going to be Stu.
No.
When we went out with work, you did win, though, didn't you, Stu?
There you go.
No, I didn't. I came second.
Oh, did Rachel win?
Yeah, I came second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, Rachel's never played golf in her life, which proves there is no skill. But see, exactly. Where we're going, there is no skill in this.
Exactly.
But I've never won every time I play crazy golf, because I overthink it. Playing golf all my life, I try and put logic to where I'm going to hit it. Like, but you can't with crazy golf. You just bloody putt the ball and that's it. And I can't think like that. So I never really seem to do well. So And I've never won at this place. I've been to this place quite a few times.
Oh, so we're talking. Oh, here we go.
No, but I've never won.
You jumped yourself right in it there.
I've been there.
So you know the course. This is bullshit.
When you see
should we have a little bet on whoever loses gets to do the podcast introduction? Oh, yeah. I've only played it 58 fucking times. Oh, here we go.
Well, it doesn't matter because I've done intro since 2014, so it doesn't make a difference. But it's a really hard course. So,
well, you should know.
I've never won. I've never won there whatsoever. It's really difficult. So that's... I'm honest, I've been there.
Well, now I'm judging you.
You're being judged.
I've been there before, obviously, because we went there with work.
Well, then, it's all coming out now. Fucking hell.
I was going to say, you kept really quiet all of a sudden.
No, I've obviously been there, but...
All right, okay, good.
There we go. But so next week, you'll find out who came rock bottom when we do the next podcast. But I hope you've enjoyed this. Thanks again for your support, and thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another lot of intellectual nonsense. Goodbye. All the movie clips and music used in this podcast are the intellectual property rights of the respective copyright holder and used to only enhance your listening experience. And any infringement caused is unintended. Well, that's it now, and we will see you next week.